On today's episode, we're going to talk about how to burn the midnight oil, being different, and sushi.
Let's go!
This is the Blind Entrepreneur Podcast, where we help entrepreneurs and business professionals execute their vision by guiding them to profitability. Today, we have a good friend of mine, known him for a very long time, Blake Jamieson. He is an ex-digital marketer turned full-time artist. After spending nearly a decade helping brands stand out online, Blake decided to pursue his passion for art and leverage his marketing background to launch his career as an artist. Blake, how is your day going, my friend?
Man, it's good. It's just getting started. But it's awesome so far.
Amen to that. So before we get into the heavy-hitting questions about your life as a digital marketer turned artist, we have to start with an icebreaker. So, Blake, are you ready?
Ready.
Imagine you just had the absolute best day of your life.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you going to eat? What are you going to order in order to make your day complete?
I got to go with sushi, man. Sushi is my favorite food in the world. Let's see, where am I going to get sushi? I mean, I've never been to Tokyo, so I'd love to get some sushi there. Yeah, I'll finish it there.
What type of rolls are we getting? Are we getting like a whole boat full, or are we just going simple and maybe getting like two, three rolls?
Oh, I mean, two or three rolls is probably solid for me, but in terms of like what kind of fish, spicy tuna is kind of my jam, but anything, like I eat any sushi, I'm good with it.
Very good.
Any sushi is fresh, I'm solid.
Good stuff. So Blake, without further ado, the first real question of the podcast is, tell us about yourself. Who are you and what is your story?
Sweet, man. Thank you for having me too. I appreciate that. Who am I? That's a big question. So I worked in digital marketing for 8 years after college. Started with Zynga straight out of college when Zynga was a startup. They're a pretty big gaming company now. They kind of had ups and downs. But I was at them when it was a very small company and really growing fast. And that kind of got my feet wet in the tech industry and working in digital marketing. And I really enjoyed it. I worked with a lot of cool companies from startups to huge publicly traded companies. But ultimately, a few years ago, I just decided that building someone else's company wasn't really building my own dreams and my own vision. And so I left all of that, and I started painting full-time, which I'm sure we'll get into kind of a story of how that transition happened. But it's been awesome, man. I get to do what I really enjoy doing every day, which is phenomenal for me. And I just, you know, happy and excited every single day. So it's been great.
You've been on a ton of, number one, a magazine cover about your, your claim to fame from Tinder. And then you also have been published on other business publications as well. What has that transition been like from ex-marketer to now artist?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. A lot of that press that I got, the magazine you were talking about, Red Bull Magazine, it was in like Adweek and a ton of big press outlets, was actually for something kind of related to digital marketing, but not really like any of my clients. That was an experiment that I did on Tinder where I kind of gamed the system like a true content marketer would, I guess, and got them like thousands and thousands of Tinder matches. That was back in 2014. And it was this kind of a silly experiment that ended up going viral completely by accident, landed me all this press that, you know, as a digital marketer, I'd always dreamed of like getting covered in Adweek as like having a brilliant marketing campaign. And I had no idea that it was going to come from doing this thing on Tinder, which was silly. But I think that kind of encapsulates well, like the way that I market myself, whether it's like now myself and my art or was for my clients back in the day, is always unconventional. And so just to give like listeners, I guess, some context for that Tinder experiment, I modified my Tinder profile picture. I added text on it that said hot match of the day using a font that looks like Tinder's logo. And I also put Tinder's logo on my profile picture. So essentially it looked like I was a hand curated match, you know, that Tinder had picked out and I was like featured on the app. which was all just like Photoshop, but people thought it was hilarious. It got great results as far as like getting matches. And then when I blogged about it afterwards and explained like my thought process of like why I did it and why I think it worked, that's really went viral. What went viral, and people can appreciate like a new angle to marketing. And marketing myself on Tinder was just happened to be the platform at the time.
So you're using unconventional ways in order to get yourself out there. I've been following you, and we've been Facebook friends and I'd say acquaintances for some time now. And you're using a lot of digital marketing in order to get yourself out there. What are some things that I guess let's talk about the early struggles of like all of your digital marketing. When was that moment where you're like, you know what? This type of content for my customers isn't the way to go. I want to start, going on my own.
So, near the end of, I guess, what you'd call my digital marketing career, even though I kind of consider myself a marketer, I'm just marketing my own stuff now, versus someone else's stuff. But it was actually around the same time as that Tinder experiment. I had moved from Los Angeles to Phoenix, Arizona, because one of my clients, social media clients that I had for the previous 5 years, had been acquired by this big national brand. And so what I was getting is I was getting this opportunity to work social media on this account for this billion-dollar brand, and was going to get all these new opportunities as far as like the scale that I could do things on social media. And that was an exciting opportunity. It was a great stepping stone for me to kind of take my digital marketing to the next level. And it was good for the most part. I mean, I did get to do new things. I got to go to a new city, which is what inspired me to do this Tinder experiment, because I didn't know anyone and I was using Tinder to meet people. But during the 2 years that I was there, I was working in a very corporate environment. It was a cubicle, I had my cubicle. I was expected to be in the office Monday through Friday, and that's just not my, I guess, ideal day. I don't want to go to an office. I don't want to sit in a cubicle. Regardless of the output of what I'm doing, like creatively and the digital marketing side, that's just not fulfilling for me. And on top of that, all of the work that I'm doing isn't building my own brand. I'm getting no like kind of long-term benefits from it. I'm helping someone else build their brand. And so I just got to a point where really like waking up in the morning wasn't exciting. And excuse me, I was looking forward to the weekends. And that's not really where I want to be in life. Like, I want to look forward to every single day. I don't want weekends to even be counted as weekends. I just want that to be another day. So after that, like having that kind of thought process for months, I just decided, it's time for a change. And so I put in my notice with that company. I left. And at that time, I didn't actually know that I was going to become a full-time artist. I had no idea what I wanted to do next. I just knew I needed to change something because, life was just becoming this routine that I wasn't looking forward to.
You're to those who have absolutely no idea what type of art that you are doing, can you ex describe a little bit about your style, a little bit about your approach?
And actually, that works well because I can kind of talk about how I landed in the art world. Art is something that I've always been passionate about. I always have fun doing. But I'd always kind of convinced myself that it wasn't a viable career path, that it wouldn't make me enough money to survive, which I think is something that we all kind of society makes you believe. So after I left my corporate job, I took this 5 week trip to Barcelona, Spain. I had no plan. I had a backpack and I had a one night, my first night in a hostel was booked and that was it. And I was traveling alone. I'd never been to Europe. So while in Spain, I ended up taking this tour through the city. They have a lot of walking tours where they have a guide that'll walk you through different parts of neighborhoods and tell you about like the culture and different things. They have one that's like about the Gaudi architecture, all different ones. But the one that really resonated with me was graffiti and street art tour. And so it walked you through the streets of Barcelona and explained how, Barcelona has this really rich history in terms of graffiti and street art, where, in the early 2000s, it was the graffiti capital of the world, and artists would come from all over the world to see Barcelona to see the art, and also all the biggest artists would come and paint there, and the city really promoted it and totally made it okay for artists to just paint on walls. And I just really kind of fell in love with that. And that reminded me that, you know, art is something that I've always enjoyed doing. And, you know, every time I'd like go home to my parents' house on the holidays, I would always paint something. And that was just like, that was what I turned to when I just wanted to do something fun. And then when I started thinking about it and why I hadn't pursued art earlier, it was this misconception of like, art's not a career, it can't pay the bills. But after 8 years of digital marketing, like I marketed all kinds of different products, and some of them I didn't even think were that great. But, you know, with the right marketing, if you get out there in front of your customers, you can sell anything. And so I just kind of had this like aha moment with myself to be like, well, I think if I took my digital marketing and I promoted my art, maybe this is a viable career path. And so I started painting full time. And, you know, I think that graffiti and street art has had a huge inspiration in terms of my style. And I guess I would call my art, you know, graffiti or street art inspired, but it's like on canvas. I'm not out painting in the streets. I'm doing it in my studio on canvas, but it definitely has this kind of like street art, pop art kind of flair to it, I guess.
I mean, the style that you're doing is very like meticulous. There is a clear cut process to everything that you're doing. You have to cut multiple versions and paint over that, and then get the same version of a different style and painting over that. Where did this particular style of art come into play? And was this something that you just like watched some YouTube videos on and you figured out, or was this something that you've already were skilled at and you just amplified it to the, you know, to the thousands?
Sure. Yeah. So I use stencils, which I cut out by hand. So each layer is a different color. And that really came from kind of the street art element of it. So back to Barcelona. The cool thing about a stencil is that you spend all this time cutting it out, usually hours and hours cutting out this design. But then when you actually paint it, it's really quick. And so street artists love this because they can spend all their time making this cool stencil in the comfort of their own home, or in my case, my hostel. And then you go out at night and you're in the street painting, which isn't necessarily legal, or like you got to be quick about it, you know. So you take the stencil, you put it up on the wall, you can spray it super fast, and then you can get out of there, and you still have this pretty detailed painting up on the wall in the streets without having to like expose yourself and stay out like for hours for trying to paint this big mural. So that's kind of like where the motivation come in, and it did start in Barcelona when I was actually painting in the streets. My very short stint, I guess, as a graffiti artist. But I just really liked it. Like it resonated with me as far as like being meticulous. Like if you cut everything out right, it's really cool. Cause then once you put down the stencil and you lay down the paint, like, you know how it's going to look, it's going to look awesome. So I love that. And I'm definitely playing with, you know, many, many layer stencils where every layer is a different color, and then texturing in, some different mediums or like abstract stuff. It's fun, man. It's a process.
Well, not to expand on that, you've even leveraged your digital marketing entrepreneurship community in order to obtain clients. So let's talk about the digital marketing aspect and how you were able to get yourself into these networks that you may not have thought that you could have gotten in the beginning. Number one, you used a couple of digital marketing strategies, like your documentary about getting into to MoMA. And then you also used leverage your network with like Casey Neistat and also Gary Vaynerchuk. So, you know, what can we take as people who are listening, entrepreneurs? What can we hear from you and get tips about your content marketing in order to get yourself into areas that you just, you know, basically leveraging your network?
Totally. A lot of the success that I had have had so far is because I had built that network as a digital marketer. And so I was already, you know, connected with Gary Vee and a lot of like really awesome entrepreneurs. And so like, obviously like knowing those people took kind of years of wining and dining online, if you will. But once I switched over to being an artist, I really wanted to like leverage that as much as possible. And so something like that I guess that I keep in mind no matter what I'm promoting, whether it was back when I was promoting client stuff or promoting my own stuff, is I always just try and do something like totally different from what the average person is doing. And you could look at like the Tinder hack stuff. That was totally just new and novel, right? Totally different. Same platform, but just a different approach. And so like I look as like an artist where I think I have this advantage as an artist because a lot of artists feel like marketing is like they're not comfortable with it. They feel like it's sleazy or it takes away from the art itself or somehow like real art, a real artist's work will just speak for itself and sell itself. But that's just not how the world works in anything. Like marketing is a critical component to like getting a product out there. And so just accepting that as an artist is a huge step, and puts me kind of it separates me from a lot of the artists out there. And then even within artists, like you look at artists and they're thinking, okay, I want to get the attention of like big art collectors. I want to sell my art to art collectors. I want to get in galleries. I want to get in museums. Like that's the traditional thought process of like becoming a successful artist, is selling to the biggest art collectors, getting a good gallery representation, and getting in the big museums. And when I first got in, like the 90 Days to SF MoMA project, which you mentioned, I was trying to like skip to the front of the line and get in this epic museum. I have no regrets about that project. That was super awesome. Made a ton of video content. But that's not even like where I'm thinking now. What I'm because when I kind of stepped back and looked at it, I looked at all of the art that I've ever sold, or ever ended up anywhere. Like all my art that's in the world, where is it? And it turns out it's in offices. It's in VaynerMedia. I know you got one over at Waterfront Labs. Like all of my art is in offices. It's not in homes of art collectors. It's not in galleries, and it's not in museums. And so I kind of took this 80-20 approach where I'm like, okay, well, if 80% of my art is ending up in offices and not these other places, like, why am I even thinking about that? It doesn't even matter. And so I've totally set aside, like, I don't want, not that I don't want, I don't care about attention from art collectors or galleries or museums. I'm strictly going for like businesses. And within that, targeting the industries that I'm most familiar with, so the digital marketing stuff, so it's like marketing agencies and PR firms and that kind of thing, because those were my people for so long. I could speak their language. I understand that, what they want, and especially like with startups, they want to build this cool office environment that's hip and inspiring, so that they can attract this, all the new talent. They want to walk, a potential front-end developer through their office space, and the person be like, wow, I want to work here because this place is just sick. They got the ping pong table, they got this cool art on the wall, all these different things. So yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think that everything about like me promoting myself as an artist is just really boils down to like just being unconventional and going a totally different way than everyone else is doing. And I think that that can work for anyone in any industry. Like, look at like what's your competition doing? How can you do it in a totally different way that'll separate you from the rest? And the cool thing is that like if you fail and it doesn't separate you from the rest, it doesn't make you stand out, then nobody ever notices. Like if you try and do crazy, like ridiculous things to stand out and get attention and you fail, the only downside is like, oh, well, I didn't get the attention that I deserve. So like by design, your failures kind of get swept under the rug because it doesn't matter. You don't,
Yeah, no,
don't
that's
stand
a
out.
very interesting approach. I mean, something that I'm curious about is of the startups, of the people that you're talking to. No disrespect to your craft, because I know it's good, and we obviously have it in the office, but it's not necessarily something that people think that they need. So why, how, what are some things that you're doing that make them want to have that art? And you said that you go into offices, and or you want to get into offices, and you want to get into the startup and the marketing crew and things of that nature. How are you making people want your art?
Totally. Awesome question. Art is definitely a luxury item, right? It doesn't solve a particular problem. It doesn't fill a specific need, which differentiates it from a lot of products that I've sold over the years. It's easy when you know the pain point, and then you can be like, we solve this pain point. We, buy our product. Art is a totally different beast. And honestly, like, I don't know if this is going to come off wrong, but like, I don't sell very hard. at all, my product. I'm focused on just building really good relationships with people and just building these like friendships so that people that know and like and trust me eventually are going to buy my art. And that's pretty much it. Like, it's not like I cold call offices and try and convince them, like, hey, man, buy my art and these are all the benefits for you if you're going to do it. It's just like, I mean, my art is very out there. If people know me and they follow me, friends with me on Facebook or whatever, they're going to see my stuff, period. And, art is completely subjective. I love to make the art and I like having the art when it finishes. Like, if I don't sell a piece of art, anything that I make, if I don't sell it, my goal is like, if I would hang it in my own house, then it's a success. And as long as like I continue to do that, I'm building this massive inventory of art, then, and I'm having fun doing it. There are people along the road, along this journey that I build these relationships with that are friends with that like it. And they will reach out to me, and they do reach out to me and say, hey, man, how much for this piece? Or how much would it cost to have you paint my company logo or whatever it is? I also know that my art's not going to be for everyone. People like all different things, and mine is a particular style, and I wouldn't want to compromise all these rela any relationship that I've built where they might not be a fan. That's totally cool. But by just focusing on building these relationships, so far, it's been pretty good.
What are some ways that you're leveraging or building that relationship and maintain the relationship and building the internal community that you're growing?
Sure. So, I mean, we're both fans of Gary Vaynerchuk, and Gary V's book, The Jab, 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 Right Hook, of doing favors basically for your customers over and over and over again before finally asking for the sale. I feel like, I'm almost 2 years into my career as an artist, and I'm still just jabbing, and I'm always jabbing. And so, with my skill set that I had in digital marketing before, that ends up having me be a content producer. So it's like, I'm decent with graphic design, I'm decent with video editing, and just a bunch of random stuff. And so I will just literally whatever, if people just need things and I see that, I'm like, hey, I can help with that. And I have no problem doing those kind of favors, and not like a tit for tat expecting something back, but just like really knowing, in my heart of hearts that, like, I don't know, I believe in karma is a real thing, and just down to help. So, like, totally random example, but when I lived in Phoenix, Arizona, I remodeled my house, and so I have a lot of like tools, and I have a lot of like building stuff experience. And so yesterday, a friend of mine wanted to put up a seamless paper, big white seamless background, so that she could film videos and do photos and stuff on it in her work slash live space. And I just saw that she like needed help, like basically finding studs and putting the right screws into the studs and getting this thing hung. And I'm like, hey, I can do that. And so I drove down to San Francisco, and I did it. And we spent the afternoon hanging out, and I helped her like build this thing. And then afterwards, we went to lunch, naturally, we ended up talking about what we're working on. And I'm talking about, my art and how I'm focusing on the offices and stuff. And so just like doing things like that like build these relationships and help people do whatever they need help doing. I guess in that way, like, my product, if you will, solves their problems, because whatever their problems are, I want to help them fix it. And if that ends up with me selling art, awesome.
Very good. And if not, then at least you had good lunch.
Yeah. Hey, dude, we had sushi. I
Nice.
love
There you
sushi.
go.
That's right, man. It was really
So
good.
we're gonna change the topic from business to a little bit more like your own internal process. So something that's really important to a lot of entrepreneurs are their habits. So what are some habits that have helped you become more efficient throughout your day?
Sure. So it's interesting because my habits as a digital marketer versus as an artist are very different. When I was a marketer, it was important to me that I wake up super early, I get my day started, have my morning rituals. But as an artist, it's kind of flip-flopped, where I actually get most of like my best creative work happens very late at night. So like I can look at almost any painting of mine, especially like my favorite paintings, and I painted it between the hours of 10 p.m. and 3 a.m. usually on the later end of that. And I don't know what it is. Like, I've read a lot of books about like personality types and entrepreneurs and motivation, and there are definitely some literature out there that suggests like, oh, the most successful people in the world wake up super early and they get started. And then there's some other books or things that might say, hey, there are morning people, there are night people, do whatever works best for you. The latter's kind of resonated with me. I don't know why I end up feeling the most creative, like really late at night, but it's nice to me, when I go in my studio and I paint, it feels really good if everything that I needed to do, like here at my computer, is done for the day, right? If all of that stuff is out of the way, I feel I don't have that burden on me anymore. And then, after 10, 11, or midnight, it's not like people aren't texting me. I'm not getting new email notifications. Like my Facebook isn't blowing up, because during the day, like it's so easy to get derailed because of a push notification or an email from a client or a friend or anything. Like it just like spirals out of control. It's hard to rein that in. And so I feel like I go through my day and it's kind of a roller coaster with figuring out, fires are coming up, or doing like logistics of like packing up and shipping art, or prospecting, just in terms of like building these relationships with people. That's what I do during the day. And then at night, like when I go out to my studio, which is here at my house, but it's like a separate building in the back, which is nice that it's like a separate space. I just go back there, I put on either music or usually an audiobook, and I just like get into this flow, and all of a sudden it's 3 o'clock in the morning, and I'm like, holy crap, how the hell? Like, I don't know how that happened, but I'm really happy with this art. I go to bed. And I usually don't wait. Like, I wouldn't be up right now if it weren't for this podcast interview, because I do like, I like to get 7 hours of sleep. So if I go to bed at 3 a.m., I sleep until 10, and I have no problem with that.
You don't feel
It's
guilty,
just
which is always the better part, right?
totally
Yeah.
don't feel guilty at all. But I will absolutely get up early for good stuff,
Good. I'm glad.
Yeah.
I'm glad.
Yeah,
Now
for sure, man.
you mentioned audiobooks, you mentioned music. What are some other resources that you use that you just can't live without? Whether it's technology or maybe as an artist, it's not technology.
Resources that I can't live without. I'm just going to circle back to audiobooks and just say Audible. Audible has been just such a cool thing for me. And for the longest time, I only listened to business self-help books, Tim Ferriss, 4-Hour Workweek, and the whole gang of all your bestseller business books, which are great. And I totally love, they helped shape like my thoughts as a marketer or whatever. But something that I got into, shoot, a few years ago now, was fiction books. For a while, I felt like fiction books, I looked at them like watching TV, which is something that I don't do. Like, I could spend my time doing something that's helpful for me. Like, that's just a waste of time. But I got into fiction books, really fell in love with one particular narrator whose name is R.C. Bray. He narrates mostly fiction, but also some business stuff. He's just, to me, it's like the perfect voice of, if someone's going to read me a book, it's got to be this dude. So I started listening to fiction books, and then what started happening was that just like got me thinking differently. And so like literally I'd be listening to like a zombie book, and in the middle of it I would get this thought of like how I can solve this real world problem that I have because of something that like triggered me in this book that's totally like fantasy. And it's been really interesting to me where like that still happens all the time, where I listen to these like fiction books, and because they're just so like out of the box and crazy, they just make me think about things differently. And I end up like getting like really creative, cool ideas for art or solving practical business problems while I'm listening to fiction, which is something that I never would have seen coming, but now is like definitely a staple in my wheelhouse.
That's very interesting. Are there any, but you said fiction. Are there any books that come to mind where you're just like, I remember I was listening to this book and this kick-ass piece of art came out of it?
Yeah, two of them. So, The Martian, which was also a movie pretty recently. That one's narrated by R.C. Bray, and that was awesome. I've listened to that a handful of times. The Alchemist, another fiction book by Paulo Coelho, which is an amazing book. That's probably my favorite book of all time. And very, like, to me, synonymous with me making art, because I actually read the physical book for the very first time on the plane flight home from Barcelona, which was this, kind of artistic transformation trip for me. So that book, like, holds this special kind of place, I guess, for me. Ender's Game is another really good one. That one's Orson Scott Card. Awesome book. I mean, dude, there's so many. I listened to, like, last year, 2016, I listened to like 116 books on Audible.
That's awesome.
And this year I'll probably do like 150. So like every 2 days I'm through a book. So yeah, I mean, I got books for days. And I'd say now it's like 75% fiction and 25% like, business self-help or like memoirs or something more like business related. And I guess the most recent one that I listened to that really resonates with me is Shoe Dog by, which is like the autobiography of Phil Knight. Super cool business book.
Very interesting.
Really cool story about building Nike.
You mentioned Barcelona a couple of times. Before I get to my last main question, have you been to Barcelona since?
Sadly, I haven't, man. I've actually been planning a trip back
Well, that was
pretty
my
much
next
since I
question.
returned.
That was my next question, which is
Yeah.
if you were to go, what do you have to do while you're there? Do you have to just like
I met
randomly
some really
tag a
cool.
wall?
Yeah, no, I mean, I would love to like follow up with the artist that I met while I was there, because while I was in Barcelona, started painting, cutting these stencils and painting in the streets at night. And I was there for 5 weeks. Like, I'm a networker, man. I met a lot of cool artists, and the fun thing about being in Barcelona is like I'm the kid from California, which is like unique and cool and novel, versus like now I'm in California and I'm the kid from California. It's like, oh, cool. Like, all
You're
right, buddy,
just like
you're
me.
here at home. Yeah, exactly, man. So, like, in Barcelona, I'm like, I'm the newcomer, which is a cool thing. So, I think the number one thing I'd have to do is meet back up with those artists that I hung out with, because now it's like 2 years later and I've done nothing but paint every single day, and my game is like, I technically my painting I think has improved a lot. And it would be fun to connect with those people again. And as far as when that trip's going to happen, I thought that I would be in Barcelona now. I was planning to go for like August, September. The reason that I've postponed that is because I've art locally has been taking off and just doing really well, and I don't want to like walk away from like a really good thing right now. Yeah.
Yeah,
So
that
as
makes
soon as I
sense.
can escape, I'm going
Well,
to.
hopefully we can hear the whole story when you go and document it on social media. But like my last final question for you is the Blind Entrepreneur. This podcast was created for individuals who may be temporarily blind in business. Potentially, when you were your ex-digital marketer self, now turned artist. So, to that person, what are three pieces of advice that you would give to a fellow entrepreneur?
All right, some of these might sound cliche, but I think that like don't trade time for money. Is do everything that you can to get away from that model, regardless of what you're doing. It's way better to so like in a super practical context of being a marketer, don't charge an hourly rate for consulting, charge a monthly retainer. Because when you're charging a retainer, you might end up spending more time and you might get less for that fixed rate, but you can also, you're rewarded for being smarter and being more efficient. And if you can continue to do that, and move away from trading time for money and rather trade like your value for compensation, that's like a super good thing. Second one, I guess, in terms of actually like marketing yourself, which is kind of reiterating what we talked about earlier, but like you don't have to do what everyone else is doing. Doing things that are different, whether it's a different approach to an existing platform or using a new platform in a new way, is usually a very good idea to do. I think that like way too many times entrepreneurs get caught up by pursuing like best practices, right? What are the best practices for launching an app? What are the best practices for doing whatever? The problem with best practices is that like that's what everyone else is doing. Everyone else is Googling it and reading the same articles or listening to the same books or whatever. Like And if you're doing something that everyone else is doing, you're just never going to stand out and be extraordinary. And so screw best practices, like do your own thing, make your own best practices. And then the final thing, I guess, in terms of like following your dreams or like the mushy stuff, is the way that I decided that art was the way that I needed to go is because when I paint, I get in this flow state that is like unlike anything, almost anything else. It's something that I get while I surf. It's something that I get at times when I do yoga. But really, like doing art is, I get in this zone and then time will just fly by and all of a sudden it's 3 o'clock in the morning. Or sometimes I can spend, 10 minutes on something and I'm just so consumed in it that it actually stretches out and it feels like it was like an hour and I get all this stuff done, but it's like, whoa, that was only 10 minutes. So I think that like finding your flow state trigger, whatever that is, I think it's different for everyone. Is another good thing because it's like, you feel like you never, what is it? If you love what you do, you never work a day in your life or something along those lines. Is like, to me, like the flow state is what that means. And finding something that gets me in the flow doesn't feel like work ever.
Well said, and it's been an absolute honor listening to the to your story. It's again, we've known each other for some time, so it's really good to finally hear where it all started and where it is now. So congratulations to all of your success, my friend. I really appreciate it, your time. You've successfully completed the podcast, so Blake, go right ahead, look directly into the
Awesome.
camera, my friend. The next 30 seconds is yours. Tell everybody how they can be a part of your journey, how they can follow your mission, and potentially be a client.
Sweet, man. I'm gonna keep it super simple. Blake Jameson, Jameson. It's spelled a little funky, and it's Blake Jameson on every single platform. Facebook, LinkedIn, my website's blakejameson.com. It's just anywhere you put in Blake Jameson, you'll find me. So I invite people to connect with me wherever they want to connect, wherever they're most comfortable. I'm down and I'm there.
Very good.
So
And he's a man of
appreciate
his
you having
word.
me,
He's
man.
anytime, absolutely anytime. To everybody that is still watching and listening, thank you guys for always liking, commenting, and subscribing. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button on YouTube. Everything you've heard today will be in the show notes. To watch more videos, head over to theblindentrepreneur.com to find interviews just like this one. Guys, Blake, thank you again. Until next time, everyone, have a great day and even better tomorrow. Thank you so much for watching this video. Don't forget to follow me on any and all social media platforms using the long last name above, followed by the letter J. If you want to get lost into the dark abyss of YouTube, click either left or right for another video. And finally, don't forget to hit the subscribe button. No, seriously, don't forget.